Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to episode 371 of Geek Town Radio. I'm Dave, and I'm back with Gray. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. So, what have you been up to the last few weeks?
So, end of January, I was unwell again. Surprise, surprise. Had a horrendous case of the flu, which meant I had a long weekend sitting in, and I got to watch quite a few bits. Then this week, half term came around, and I got out and I went to the cinema. And weirdly, as the resident film critic, I know I'm terrible at this role. I went to see my first film of 2023. I just haven't had a moment to get out to the cinema, and I went and watched Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania, which is obviously Marvel's big release after Black Panther, and I didn't know what to expect. I went on the Saturday and the release was on the Friday, and there are already bubblings around of lots of negativity just before I went, but I was like, I'm gonna go with a nice sort of like blank canvas. I wanted to be able to just take my own opinion, and you know what, it's a good film, you know, it's a fair film. It's quite a complex storyline if you're thinking about it, but if you just try and pass that and just enjoy it for what it is, it's okay. I'm not saying it's incredible and amazing, but we have been spoiled by such amazing films in the MCU.
Yes.
I can understand why people are like this, but I was having it out with one of my students today about this. I was like, you're all jumping on a couple of negative reviews. And then I dug down with this student and realized he actually didn't like Marvel that much. I thought, so you're actually not one to comment.
Yeah.
If you had seen the entire Marvel catalog, you know, you will have an informed reason, you know. There are reasons why I do not like Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, but that's my own opinion based on watching so many of them. But I will respect other people's opinions. And so there was a bit of debate about it. But I liked it. I didn't think it was incredible. It's not going into my top 10 or top 15. It's probably scraping around the top 20-ish mark. Definitely right. Better than Thor Dark World.
Dark World, you mean the second one?
Yeah, Dark World, the second one. Definitely better than that. Definitely better than Doctor Strange. That, to me, is still at the very bottom. and, you know, if you put it on... I love Paul Rudd. He's a really charismatic actor and brings a lot to the screen. And Jonathan Majors, who plays our next big villain, we've already seen him in Loki. Really good actor, really giving it to the screen. Quite fascinating. It's quite contrived how the storyline gets there and things like that. But, you know, I enjoyed it. I recommend Marvel fans go and see it. If you're not a Marvel fan, don't go and see it. And don't just tag on to the hype that it's a terrible movie and no one else should go and see it. But just, you know, go and enjoy it for what it is. You need to see it to see where this phase is going, in my opinion.
Yes. I mean, it's the start of the new phase. As I understand it, the proper introduction of Kang as the sort of big new villain. One of the reviews I caught the headline of said, it's not necessarily a great Ant-Man and Wasp movie, but it is a great introduction to Kang. So
and I get that. There's go and see it. That's my gonna say. Go and see it if you're a Marvel fan and enjoy it for what it is. Do not get too bogged down in quantum mechanics is my other suggestion as well.
Well, yes, quite.
TV wise, so in my time of being off, I got through a few of the new series that released this year I've been talking about. So I completed Everyone Else Burns, which is a Simon Bird Channel 4 comedy.
Yes.
Our Flag Means Death on BBC One. I really enjoyed it, but maybe it was me. I didn't love it. I appreciated it. I like Taika Waititi and I like what he brings to the role. And I just appreciated it in the end. I wasn't there thinking it was amazing. And I've heard some amazing people thinking it's some of the, one of the best things to come out of HBO Max. Is it HBO Max possibly?
Yes, I think so.
In a while. I just appreciated it. Maybe my tastes are changing.
I'm kind of with you on there. I mean, it's a solid enough comedy. It's entertaining. It's very much Taika's humour. He's not actually the person behind it, but it's very much in that kind of area. I'm sort of with you.
Yeah.
It's not up there with Hacks in terms of being a brilliantly well-written comedy, but it is a very entertaining, I thought, and it's nice seeing it as a pirate comedy. Yeah.
And thinking of it in terms of the creative backgrounds and those crossover links, I actually still prefer What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
I like, if you know, because there are some creative crossovers there based on like the original film, What We Do in the Shadows. And I actually still prefer that and I enjoy the comedy of that. I mean, Our Flag Means Death had a lot of British actors on there. You had Gus Kahn, you had Con O'Neill, you know, really bringing it to the screens. But in my mind, it's not as good as, you know, What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah.
Also finished Nolly, brilliant. Helena Bonham Carter's brilliant. Russell T Davies, just really excited. The next one currently sitting as my number one program of 2023, and it will sit there for quite a while, I believe, is Happy Valley.
Yeah.
The final season was just emotional torture, but it absolutely was brilliant. And it will take a lot this year to knock that off number one spot. And then I'm doing the things like Chicago Fire and Med. I'm watching those. Shrinking, I'm watching. I'm midway through Lockwood and Co. And Dave, here's my revelation. Based on your advice, I am 4 episodes into The Last of Us.
Good. Okay. Are you going to be the one dissenting voice in this?
No, I am enjoying it very much. I don't know. Part of me was really worried that it was just going to be, every episode was going to be action-packed and killing and death. And zombies, and actually it's a real story about humanity and people and personalities. And I'm not sure I haven't been able to listen to you and Matt, but episode 3 was just beautiful.
Yeah.
The way it was told, and you know, and how the story was delivered, and yeah, absolutely incredible. So thank you for pursuing it with me and telling me to go out and watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am enjoying it. I'm about a week behind. I'm not quite on track. I normally wait until a weekend, and I know it gets released on a Monday.
Right.
And then watch one. And then the other weekend when I was ill, I sort of backtracked a bit. And then I think the Super Bowl, they put one out early. It all confused me. So
yes, it did.
Yeah, I watched episode 4 over the weekend, and then I realized 5 was ready and 6 was about to drop. So
yeah,
I will probably catch up with that.
Yes. Matt and I are 1 episode ahead. So because we've got previews of it. So we're recording the podcast slightly earlier than the week before the episode goes out, but it continues to be phenomenal, that show. It's been just amazing.
I mean, it's going to be there with my top 10. It's sitting there at the moment. I mean Happy Valley is definitely taking my top spot, but it's definitely sitting up there as one of the really good creative pieces, and it surprised me. It's pleasantly surprised me. And I think that's what's key. That's basically what else I've been watching. There are other little bits, you know me, in the entertainment stuff, like The Last Leg and the Graham Norton Show and things like that I watch weekly, in and out anyway. The only thing I've got a question of is, I was happily watching 911 up until Christmas. So the episodes are dropping weekly, and I was watching IMDb, and there were many episodes still aired ahead, and then suddenly it just stopped. Nothing. Yes. And so where's it? Is it coming back soon?
Yeah, it is. It is coming back. It's on a mid-season break at the moment. Lone Star has just dropped randomly out of nowhere this week.
Right.
So you can get on and jump onto Lone Star for the moment. I think it's back in March. Let me just double check that in the US. I don't know when it's going to drop over here.
Because I'm anticipating Grey's Anatomy and Station 19 are going to come soon. And with my Chicago Fire and Chicago Med, maybe one too many procedurals.
Well, you've got a little bit of time for Grey's and Station 19. They're back in March. And 911 is also back in March. So there's going to be a glut of them dropping in March. So get your other procedural stuff out of the way first.
Oh, but no, Med and Fire are going to go on for 21 weeks now. I'm trapped in. I'm locked in.
Oh, no.
What have you been watching over the last week, Dave?
Well, I started, obviously, the big show this week, which is Star Trek Picard Season 3, which they announced you can actually watch on Prime Video or Paramount Plus, depending what you have available. So both of those are airing it. They kind of came up with a joint deal so they could both air it at the same time. This season is kind of disconnected to the previous seasons in a lot of ways. Some of the characters from the previous seasons cross over, but not all of them. So if you kind of didn't get on with the first two seasons, you sort of can jump in with this one if you're a Next Generation fan, because, of course, this does have pretty much all of the Next Generation cast back. It essentially starts with Beverly Crusher, and she is somewhere in the middle of nowhere on a ship, and it gets attacked, and she sends out an emergency distress call to Picard. It turns out that her and Picard haven't really been talking for 20 years, so he's somewhat surprised to get any form of communication from her, and it's encoded and, you know, all that sort of stuff. He's like, well, if she's in trouble, and the fact that she's even contacted me in the first place, we need to go and find out what's happening. So that's when he starts to put the team together and goes and gets Riker and ends up with other people involved as well. In the first episode, we only really see Riker, Seven of Nine. We see a bit of Raffi, who is one of the newer characters from the previous couple of seasons as well. We get introduced to Sidney LaForge, I think it is, who is the helmsman on the Titan, which is Riker's old ship. And obviously, being LaForge, it's, I think, one of the daughters of Geordi LaForge. There is actually both these daughters are in the show. So we're sort of waiting for the other big guest stars to show up. But that's sort of been the main cast at the moment. It's a really solid opening to it. It is called The Next Generation, this episode as well, which is rather sweet. But weekly drops on Paramount Plus and on Prime Video as well. So you can go and watch it in both those places. It's 10 episodes long. I'm all for this. I'm very interested to see where it ends, whether all the characters make it through to the end or what they do with them, because they are saying this is the final season of Picard. There have been stories of like, well, maybe it'll come back, although my gut feeling is that it's unlikely to come back as Star Trek Picard. It's more likely to be they'll pick another character and go with them if they're going to do that. So it might be a Riker season, or it could be a Geordi LaForge season or something like that. I suspect they're more likely to go down that route than they are to actually do Picard again. But first season, a little bit all over the place. I enjoyed the second season a lot more. Third season looking like it's going to be a really solid start. So where are you with the Star Trek stuff these days? Are you watching any
nowhere
of
near.
Nowhere near.
I read a lot. I read a lot about the canon, the characters they bring back and things like that. And I've read just in the initial reactions that there is a lot of Trek fans that were really disappointed in two, and this sort of is starting to make up for it. But I've listened to something this morning which basically said you could almost ignore two and jump straight into three and you'd be fine.
Pretty much. I mean, to be honest, you could pretty much, I mean, apart from we've only seen one character so far, I think, that's kind of made the crossover from the previous seasons, which is Raffi. So at the moment, I mean, I would say you can pretty much jump into that third season if you want to. And if you want to kind of catch up with the old crew, that would be the way to do it. So that's been the big show this week. I'm also actually just caught up on 911. I was way, way behind on that. So I've been watching through those episodes. So I'm caught up on that now and started Lone Star as well, because that dropped this week. So it's one of those surprise Disney Plus drops that they didn't tell us about. And it's like, here's a new season. And you're like, oh yeah, could give us some warning, but yes, okay. I'm glad it's on. There was another new show on Apple, which is called Hello Tomorrow, which I really like the look of, but it's a very odd premise. It is a sort of science fiction action dramedy kind of. I explained the setup as being that sort of 1950s futuristic environment. So if any of you have played Fallout, it's basically like Fallout before all the bombs dropped. So it's that sort of vision of what they thought the future was going to be in the 1950s. It's got that sort of weird, not steampunky, but that sort of 50s future tech vibe to it. So it's a really interesting kind of setup in terms of the environment. And this sort of retro futuristic world focused on a group of traveling salesmen who are selling timeshares to the moon, to go and live on the moon, basically. They've got, the moon has been this sort of plaything for the rich and famous, and they're trying to sell these timeshares to the general public as a sort of, you know, slightly cheaper way of being able to get up and spending time on the moon. That's essentially what it is. It's Billy Crudup in the lead role. He plays the sort of lead salesman. Then there's Hank Azaria as well. He plays one of the others. Alison Pill is in there. Few of the names and faces. I struggled a little bit with it, to be honest. It's rare that happens with an Apple show, but it's one of those things where it's not comedic enough as it necessarily needs to be. It's not drama-y enough as it needs to be. And I don't really see where the story is going. Other than you're following this group of traveling salesmen, there is a bit of a twist to that at the end of the first episode, which obviously I'm not going to give away now, but I don't know. I may try and push myself through a second episode, but it didn't grab me as much as I needed it to, I don't think, with the first episode, which is a shame because I really like the setup and the environment for it. I just don't feel the story is quite as strong as maybe it needs to be. It could be one of those things that it takes a few episodes to bed in. I'm not sure, but it's got a solid cast. It's just not quite there yet at the moment for me.
I've been seeing a lot of promo for it. When I go in to watch Shrinking, you either get a promo for that or a promo for Eugene Levy's new program, which starts next week. I thought the concept looked a bit odd when the trailer came up for the first time. I couldn't tell what it was trying to be in terms of genre. Mm-hmm. It was a bit nondescript and I didn't know if it would be a comedy. And then I just said, well, what Billy Crudup is he really known for anything but sort of sci-fi stuff? So yeah, it was, I don't think I'd be rushing to watch it. And it's something that doesn't begin with an S that's on Apple. So, you know, you've got to have that caution.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's interesting that you say that from the trailer, because that's sort of what you get from the show as well. Is it, I don't think it quite knows what it wants to be. If it went out and out comedy, I think it could work. If it went drama, it could work. The problem is it sort of tries to sit somewhere in the middle and doesn't really nail either. So I don't know. Like I say, I might try and go and watch another episode of it and see whether it finds its feet as you get further through it. But yeah, the first episode didn't really grab me anywhere near as much as it needed to, unfortunately. Those are the main things I've been watching this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, TV and film news, we start off with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. A few Disney cancellations. They've been bringing the hatchet out recently. There's a few changes going on behind the scenes at Disney. Bob Iger, who was CEO up until about 2021, left the role to retire and then came back and replaced the person that replaced him because they begged him to come back because their numbers had started to tank, apparently. So there was just their earnings calls weren't particularly great. So he came back and he started to make a bunch of sweeping changes. One of those changes seems to be that they are focusing more on what they call their core brands. So that is things like Disney shows themselves, you know, straight up sort of Disney fare, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar stuff. You know, they're focusing rather more around those brands directly. which seems to mean that a lot of the other things are going to be going by the wayside unless they're hitting quite big numbers. They are also slowing down the release of the Marvel TV shows, because I think part of the problem had been the previous boss had been trying to churn them out at an accelerated rate, and we'd been hearing a lot of rumblings from people like FX houses that they just cannot get things finished quickly enough and the quality is starting to suffer. So they're slowing down the releases of some of the Marvel stuff, but they are focusing more on that stuff. So we'll see where all that plays out. But the upshot of that is two shows cancelled this week. Big Shot and Mighty Ducks Game Changers both have been canned by Disney Plus after two seasons. So they're both going. Both sports shows as well. I don't know whether you caught either of them, but not ones I would. Blood and Treasure, which I think runs on Sky Sci-Fi over here, but that has been cancelled after two seasons, which that's been coming for a while. The second season was sort of held in circulation for months and years, was kicking around for ages until they eventually released it. I think it was on CBS. That's sort of a swashbuckling adventure kind of thing, Indiana Jonesy type of thing. But yes, that's gone after two seasons, so not overly surprised by that. Apparently Still Open All Hours has been axed after six seasons on BBC One, which is a little bit of a surprise because the numbers have been quite good for it. I don't know whether it's just cost cutting or whether David Jason doesn't want to do it anymore. I'm not sure the reasons for it, but yes, apparently that will not be coming back after six seasons. I mean, you know, maybe he just doesn't want to play that character anymore. I don't know. I remember the original show, so you know.
I watched probably the first two of the renewed when it came back, but it was very much for a certain audience.
Yes.
You know, but you know, I saw David Jason in a recent interview, aging very much, and he can't do things forever, so maybe he just didn't want to revisit that character much longer. And I know there are some stories about COVID controls. They're having issues with coming back after all the COVID delays. Yeah. So that could be a factor as well. But
Yes. I mean, David Jason is 83, which I mean, apparently he has said that he would be up for doing more, and it might be one of those things that they pop out the old Christmas episode or something like that. You never know. But I mean, it went off in 2019, and it looks like it's just one of those things that I think post COVID they've just decided they're not going to bring it back. So that's gone. In terms of sort of entertainment shows, though, it's been an absolute massacre this week. I mean, across all channels, actually. So Axed on ITV, The Masked Dancer, Ninja Warrior UK, Alan Carr's Epic Game Show, and Apocalypse Wow, which was on ITV2. That's all the stuff gone on ITV. The biggest surprise, I think, is I Can See Your Voice has been axed by BBC, apparently. That's gone. Catchpoint has been axed. I think that did four seasons. And then over on Dave, The Island with Tom Allen, that's gone on Dave. And then there's a show called Moneybags, which has been axed by Channel 4. Although, to be fair, that's not directly Channel 4. I think the company that was making it went under. So, which is ironic for a show called Moneybags. But anyway, ITV had a real clear out. They Masked Dancer, Ninja Warrior UK, Alan Carr's Epic Game Show, and Apocalypse Wow all gone. I don't know whether you caught any of those. I saw little bits of I Can See Your Voice. And I mean, it seemed to be a big thing. I don't know whether it's a licensing thing, because it was a US show. So maybe the license cost a fortune for the BBC and it's not making the numbers it needed to. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, them having a massive clear out of entertainment seems very weird in the culture where ITVX are making this promise of releasing new shows every week. Wonder if they're all too expensive. I have read sort of rumours around that Alan Carr is becoming very much attached to BBC with a lot of his work at the moment. So that could be a reason why he's leaving ITV, because I think he's got something coming up on the BBC.
He has,
Of a new programme. Mm. I'm not surprised I Can See Your Voice when it wasn't one of the popular entertainment shows on a Saturday night. And I think this time round, did it go up against Limitless Win or something like that?
Right,
and that was probably winning. And The Island with Tom Allen was terrible. I watched that. I love Tom Allen, but you tune into a Dave, I'll say, panel show comedy, and it was the same four comedians every week for like 8 weeks. It just didn't work. You needed that variety, and they just kept going on and on about it. Was like 6 hours split over 8 episodes with this old idea they were colonizing a new island and audience had to vote who came up with the best idea. It wasn't good, and Tom Allen is better than that. So
yeah,
I think it's the right decision. And I weirdly loved Moneybags. Me and a friend got absolutely addicted to it when we first found it, but we didn't watch it after that. We just got addicted to it for all the episodes we were in. It's a ridiculous concept, but yeah, we loved it at the time.
Yes, I sort of saw some bits and pieces of I Can See Your Voice, but yeah, I think that was a bought-in format, and if it's not hitting big numbers for the BBC, they've got other things they can use, and you know, it may be that was the case with that. I mean, Catchpoint did 4 seasons. It's just one of those things. There's a few of those sort of shows, like there's the Catchpoint, there's The Wall as well, which is kind of entertaining. You know, there's a lot of those sort of things around, and that one's just gone by the wayside, unfortunately. So yeah, being a bit of a slaughter on the entertainment front this week. Over on the renewal side of things, Outer Banks is being renewed for season 4 ahead of its Netflix release of season 3, which is unheard of for Netflix. I mean, when do they ever renew anything early, let alone, and it wasn't like they renewed it saying this will be the final season either. They said it's getting a 4th season, you know, because usually if they do an early renewal, it's like we're renewing it for a 4th and final season. But yeah, they didn't say that at the time, I don't think. So,
and they won't let us know about Lockwood and Co. yet. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Outer Banks has been a huge thing. They actually did a massive launch thing in LA this week as well, like a sort of big music festival thing for that show. So I don't know what sort of numbers it's getting, but clearly it's quite a lot. They've renewed that for season 4. That's coming ahead of the season 3 release, which is later this week. And Poker Face, which hasn't been picked up over here yet, it's a Peacock series in the US, that's been renewed for a 2nd season. Stars Natasha Lyonne, it's from Rian Johnson, and that's been getting great reviews. So I hope that lands somewhere over here, given that it's a Peacock series. And I mean, we do technically at the moment still have Peacock, although I think it's getting shut down. I don't know what they'll do with the shows that were on it, whether they'll get absorbed into other Sky things or what, I don't know. But Peacock seems to be on the verge of not being a thing anymore. I mean, it was very half-hearted the way they managed it over here anyway, because it was sort of put on as a sort of branded box sets on Sky, but it wasn't like its own individual streaming service or anything. It was just sort of there is a box set section called Peacock, basically. So that seems to be closing down by the looks of things. But hopefully we'll get that somewhere over here, because, I mean, it's still running in America as Peacock, and it's still part of NBC, which is a sister station to Sky. So I hope that will land somewhere, but that's supposed to be quite good. So we'll have to see if that pops up anywhere. Over in pickups and other news, they announced a few things coming to ITVX in March. A lot of big US box sets. They've got stuff coming in March and April, actually. In March, you've got Gotham landing on the 9th of March as the full box set of the whole thing. Community on the 16th of March. Jane the Virgin on the 23rd of March. And then in April, you've got the originals coming on the 6th of April. Parks and Rec coming on the 13th of April. And Mr. Robot landing on the 20th of April. So, great set of US box sets to be able to get through. I mean, I've seen Gotham already, and I've seen the originals, but I've never actually got all the way through. Like, I've seen bits and pieces of Community and Parks and Rec, but they're good ones to look out for. And Mr. Robot is well worth a watch if you've not caught that yet. They also announced that Crime, which is an adaptation of the Irving Welsh novel, that is coming on the 27th of April. It's a 6-episode series set in Edinburgh. It stars Dougray Scott in the lead role as Detective Inspector Ray Lennox, who is investigating the disappearance of a schoolgirl while battling his own personal demons. It's got Angela Griffin, Ken Stott in there as well. Don't recognise any of the other names. And they've already ordered a 2nd season of it. So yeah, that's called Crime, 27th of April. That's popping up on there. That's going to be an ITVX series exclusive, I think. And then I think they come onto ITV at some point, sort of 6-12 months down the line. But for now, it will be an ITVX exclusive.
Really good about those acquisitions. So someone has really done good in the ITVX office, because you're going to get some really good, and a lot of those have come over from Netflix or Prime. So they've been grabbed out of contract at probably the right time to go over. I will probably watch crime. I'm into my crime stuff at the moment. I've still got the final episode of Vera to watch this week, but I do love a good sort of crime thriller. And, you know, some of the stuff on ITVX, if you're thinking about Nolly and that, has been really good so far. So they have pulled it out of the bag when, you know, this time last year, I was absolutely berating the whole ITV system and the hub. And, like, I would hardly go on there unless it was, like, Anton Deck Saturday Night Takeaway or something. I'd probably avoid the channel.
Yes, they have done a really solid job with ITVX. And the fact that it's free, and even if you actually pay for it, you're actually only paying the same price you would if you paid for exclusive content off BritBox, and you get all the BritBox content as part of ITVX. So I don't understand why BritBox is still running as a separate service, because it's the same price as an ITVX premium subscription, which removes all the ads. And you get all the BritBox content. So, I mean, there's absolutely no point, but yes. Because, I mean, I got premium for Staged, for the third season of Staged. I've got a premium account. Plus, I can't stand ads. So, you know, and I already had a BritBox account. So I cancelled the BritBox and, like, moved it over onto ITVX. But yeah, worth the money, though, definitely. And even without the money, you can go and watch all that stuff for free anyway. So it's a pretty decent deal, I think. That's worth checking out ITVX if you haven't looked at it already. A couple of other things as well. Queen Charlotte, A Bridgerton Story, that has been given a premiere date. It's coming the 4th of May onto Netflix. Did you watch any of Bridgerton? Voided me completely, but yes.
Yeah, I watched both seasons. One was slightly better than two. And it, you know, we all tuned in for certain elements of it in the first instance, but actually it had some really good storytelling. The only little gripe I had is the episodes were slightly too long for my liking.
Right.
But it just comes from a Downton perspective, and in terms of like making those episodes like really long and, you know, you've invested. But no, I really like the character of Queen Charlotte as well. And historically, you know, I get up on my geeky stuff when I realize they're based on a real character. It's a fascinating story, her, you know, her reign during the time of her mad husband king, who was struck down with mental illness. And they, you know, so that it, there is an interesting element there that makes me potentially want to watch this one.
Yes, so 4th of May for that one. That's going to be the Bridgerton spin-off. I think that's an individual one-off spin-off thing. I could be wrong about that, but I think it's a sort of limited series thing. The other news that popped up was they're apparently looking to make a new UK version of Jeopardy. Are you aware of Jeopardy? Big US game show.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Jeopardy's been running for years in the US, and they are looking to make a new UK version of it. They've done it a couple of times before, but they apparently shot a pilot with Richard Madeley hosting last year. However, it didn't work, but they are looking still to go back to it again. And the person they're looking to host it, apparently, is Stephen Fry, which seems like a quite good, cuddly kind of figure to fit in there, and has the sort of gravitas that I think you probably need for something like Jeopardy. I think he's been courted as host at the moment. He apparently is the favourite for it. Whether that means he's going to do it or not is an entirely different matter, of course. But they're looking to do that potentially as a daytime thing. Could stand to have some Jeopardy come back. I mean, you know, we like things like Pointless, and it's in that kind of lane, isn't it, I guess?
It's really out there to have Fry back as a regular host of a TV show, considering obviously he stepped down from QI those many years ago.
Well, yes.
When I saw the name attached, it just took me back a bit. It was like, oh, really? He's, you know, he's in the running. You know, you could potentially see this as being like a Stephen Mulhern or Ryland vehicle normally,
yeah, exactly.
When it's an ITV show like that. But, you know, good on him if he does get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be very much whether they can convince him to do it or not, because it's one of those things that it will depend on the length of the run and how much work it is, I would suspect. Because if it's stopping him doing other stuff, then that's a problem. And, you know, so we'll see. It did specifically say he was being caught to host it, not that he is hosting it. So it's one of those rumors that are out there. I don't know whether that will happen, but I was in the same position as you. I was like looking at it going, really? Well, interesting. So yeah, we'll see. But Jeopardy could be making a UK comeback again. Moving on to other news stories, the BBC has ordered a thing called The Way, which is described as a bold new drama. It's written by James Graham, who is the person that wrote Quiz and wrote Sherwood. It's been directed, not starring, but directed by Michael Sheen. And it's co-created by Sheen, Graham, and a man called Adam Curtis, who did a thing called The Power of Nightmares and Hypernormalization. Three-part drama taps into the social political chaos of today's world by imagining a civil uprising which begins in a small industrial town. It says, meet the Driscolls, an ordinary family and an extraordinary story of life, death, and survival. Caught in a chain of events and power struggles that ripple out, unleashing civil unrest, they are forced to escape the country they've always called home and the certainties of their old lives. Will they be overwhelmed by their memories of the past, or will the Driscolls lay their ghosts to rest and take a risk of an unknown future? The Way is an emotional, darkly humorous story about what it means to be faced with impossible choices. So that's the setup for it. It's being shot in Port Talbot, I think, which is where Michael Sheen comes from. Interesting one. It doesn't say whether he's going to be starring in it and directing it as well, or just directing it, but we'll see.
I love a bit of Michael Sheen. He's so good.
He is. And a civil unrest thing in a sort of small industrial town is kind of an interesting concept, particularly with everything that's going on at the moment in the world. So we'll see what happens with that. But it is, BBC have ordered it, so it's only going to be three episodes. It's one of their little three-episode dramas. We want to watch out for. Don't know when that's dropping. I think it's shooting later this year. Over on Apple, they dropped a trailer for something called Extrapolations, which I started watching the trailer, not knowing anything about it. And it's one of those things that you start watching going, oh, they're in it. That's interesting. Oh, wait, they're in it. And they're in it. And they're in it. And they're in it. Hang on. How many names are attached to this? This is ridiculous. So I was sat watching this trailer, and the idea of it is it's from a guy called Scott Zeb Burns. It introduces a near future where the chaotic events of climate change have become embedded into everyday lives. It's eight interwoven stories about love, work, faith, and family from across the globe will explore the intimate, life-altering choices that must be made when the planet is changing faster than the population. Every story is different, but the fight for our future is universal. And when the fate of humanity is up against a ticking clock, the battle between courage and complacency has never been more urgent. Are we brave enough to become the solution to our own undoing before it's too late? So it's a sort of eco-drama set in a kind of near future is the setup for it, which is possibly why they've managed to get so many names attached to it. But the cast list is ridiculous. Kit Harington, David Diggs, Matthew Rhys, Ed Norton, Tobey Maguire, Forrest Whitaker, Heather Graham, Sienna Miller, Inara Verma, Gemma Chan, Michael Gandolfini, Kerry Russell, Marion Cotillard. There's a bunch of people that I don't recognise. There's Judd Hirsch, Sherry Gold, Terry Jones, Gash Chowdhury, Ben Harper, Murray Bartlett, David Schwimmer, Diane Lane, and because there aren't enough A-listers already in this, Meryl Streep.
Was Brad Pitt busy?
Yeah, apparently so. I mean, I just like Scott Zed Burns, by the way, is the person that did Contagion, An Inconvenient Truth, and The Report. He's the writer, director, and exec producer of it. But that is a ridiculous cast list for it. It is obviously a limited series, or if they go to a second season, it could be an entirely different cast because they're telling sort of different stories. But
you'd want to see it, wouldn't you? I mean, if we think about 5 years ago, we were saying like Meryl had never been in any TV shows, and then Big Sky, Only Murders in the Building, and now this all happening within the space of a few years. And, you know, she does choose well, because all of those shows she's been in are quite phenomenal shows. So you've got to consider that this will be another good shout for Meryl. She does make good choices normally.
Yeah, well, that's true. We don't know how big the roles are going to be for each of these people, whether they're, you know, I mean, there's so many cast in there, whether they're going to be in little cluster groups and or what, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Kit Harington clearly has a sort of fairly large role in this. It is weird. You should go watch the trailer, because it is weird, because you sat there watching through it and just like, hang on, was that Ed Norton? And then, hang on, that was Tobey Maguire. What are they doing in there? This is Gemma Chan, really? Yeah, no, it is. It's very strange, that trailer. But yeah, it's called Extrapolations. Not entirely sure when it's dropping yet, but yes, that's a limited series. It's coming to Apple TV at some point fairly soon. Moving over onto film news, there's some details about another Hellboy movie, which, given how badly the last one flopped, I'm surprised they're sort of starting again. But there are a few differences with this this new one. It's called Hellboy the Crooked Man, which is based on a very specific comic book. So it's not an original story completely. It is based on a book. And Mike Mignola, who is the creator of the comics, is actually, for the first time, writing the script for it. So it's actually got people that know what they're doing behind it this time around, which is a good thing to be dealing with, I think. The new film will see Hellboy and a rookie BPRD agent stranded in 1950s rural Appalachia. There they discover a small community haunted by witches led by a local devil with a troubling connection to Hellboy's past called the Crooked Man. In the comic, the Crooked Man was an 18th century miser and war profiteer named Jeremiah Witkin, who was hanged for his crimes yet returned from hell as the region's resident devil. So that's the sort of setup for it. It's coming from Millennium, who were the people that behind the previous movie. So maybe that David Harbour comes back. We don't know, because they were behind the 2019 film, but that didn't get great returns. So I don't know whether they get a new cast in or not. We'll have to wait and see. Brian Taylor, who was the person that directed Crank, is apparently the person behind directing this, which isn't a glowing endorsement, I don't think, necessarily.
That's probably not the one you'd go with. No. I'd call him first-time director if that's his only one that he's done.
Yes, I don't know whether he's got anything else. Let me look.
So definitely no Ron Perlman attached, no?
No, definitely no Ron Perlman attached. He did the Brave... Well, he has done some interesting stuff, actually. He did Brave New World, which was the TV series, which did get canned after one season on Peacock, but it was actually all right, that show. He was the writer of Happy as well and created that TV series, which was wonderfully bonkers, and directed some number of episodes of that. I mean, to say, the Crank franchise is one of the things that he's known for. Jonah Hex, he wrote the screenplay for. I mean, mixed bag, I think. But, you know, Happy, which was a comic book adaptation and was a fairly direct comic book adaptation, that maybe stands him in reasonable stead.
So was Christopher Maloney and the Unicorn, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Christopher
Maloney.
Never
thought I'd say that sentence.
Yes. Based on a Grant Morrison comic, that one was. So, and I think Grant did write quite a lot of that, but he also was involved in some of the writing and the directing in that. So we'll see. They're talking to cast at the moment. As I say, they don't know whether it's going to be David Harbour again or whether it's going to be somebody entirely new. But I mean, I watched the original two movies and quite enjoyed those, and then didn't, like many people, see the reboot. I know it got slammed. I don't know whether you caught any of that.
No, I didn't. I remember the first Hellboy was one of my first terrible cinema experiences, where they'd oversold the seats and I had to sit in the corridor on the exit. Random is that? And that's how popular it was on that first release. But that was the Ron Perlman one. So, and I sort of really enjoyed the dark element of that comic book. But I never went and saw the reboot because I think, again, I was too swayed by the early reviews. For my own shame, really. So
yes, I sort of feel like I should go and look the reboot up on streaming to see what it was actually like. But I mean, it's such a hard act to follow, though, because Ron Perlman was born to play that role.
Yeah, so definitely.
It was always going to be a really tough act to follow that. Danny's in development at the moment. And as I say, there are some saving graces behind it, like the fact that Mike Mignola is actually the person that has written the script for it, alongside Chris Golden, who is the other person that writes the Dark Horse comic books with him. So it has got people that know something about it behind it, which is a good sign. We have got one more news story this week, and it's another remake. And I mean, it was sort of only a matter of time that this was going to pop up, because we've had like Magnum, we've had Hawaii Five-O, Starsky and Hutch is the next thing that they're going to attempt to do a remake of. It's Fox that are the people that are behind this remake. Do you remember the original Starsky and Hutch?
Yeah, I remember the original vaguely, not like broadcast, but like reruns. I remember the Ben Stiller film remake as well. And I genuinely, when I just read over this story, I thought, haven't we had one already? In my yes. head, I was just convinced we'd already had one, but obviously we haven't, so...
Yes, not as a TV show, not as an ongoing TV show. There was a film version, as you mentioned, which was Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, and that was in 2004, which was a sort of much more comedic take than the actual original TV show was. This rather smells of being kind of dramedy area, I would say. Don't know exactly, but the original show starred Paul Michael Glazier and David Soul, and they are in a fictional place called Bay City in California, and they're sort of iconic buddy cops, basically. I mean, they're two very different characters. One's sort of far more laid back, one's much more intense. They're best known probably for the Ford Gran Torino, which was Starsky's car that they used to drive around in. It's just the classic buddy cop TV show. I mean, it's like the complete archetype of that. So the remake, as they can't ever do straight remakes of things, they're gender flipping the lead roles. So it'll be two female detectives, Sasha Starsky and Nicole Hutchinson. The duo will solve crimes in the offbeat town of Desert City while staying true to their friendship, their awesomeness, and somehow also trying to unravel the mystery behind who sent their fathers to prison 15 years ago for a crime they didn't commit. I mean, the way that reads sounds very much like they're doing it as a sort of dramedy kind of the rookie vibe sort of thing. The two people behind it are Sam Sclaver and Elizabeth Pearson. Sclaver was the writer and showrunner on Prodigal Son, and Peterson was co-EP on it and also worked on things like The Resident and Newsroom. That sort of Prodigal Son vibe, that sort of dramedy kind of area, I can see it sort of fitting into that ground. I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced, I have to say.
I'm gonna sort of say I'm not in any way sort of judging. I just do not think fans are gonna like the gender flipping.
Yes.
I get what they're trying to do, modernize the text, make sure that it is, you know, fitting into our relevant audiences and to remove any possible issues, but we are familiar with the characters being male in all iterations, and I think that might just be too far for our audience to accept, really. I mean, we got on with the Sherlock remake, Elementary.
Yes.
You know, they gender flipped.
Yeah.
With Lucy Liu, but I'm just a little bit, I'm not sure. I think this might be a one season and done.
Yeah, and I mean, they did gender flip, I think, one of the roles in Hawaii Five-0 as well, but it was one of the roles, not the lead character.
Yeah.
And they've done the same in Magnum, actually. They gender flipped the British butler character was flipped from male to female. So it's not unheard of. I don't know. I mean, fine. I don't have a problem with them gender flipping roles. The concept of it as being a buddy cop thing with two male cops is kind of the central part of the show.
Yeah.
So I think if they swapped the Huggy Bear role to a female role, I think people would be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think people would be fine with that. It's just taking both the main characters and completely flipping them to female roles, it changes the dynamic a lot.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think, and again, it's not me, just like it's not you. I know what audiences like and how they react to things. And that's why I'm saying it. I just do not think it will be accepted by audiences. I think they're going to be the ones sort of saying, no, we don't want to watch this. And, you know, we can see it rocking down to the bottom of the ratings after a few weeks. But,
yeah,
you know, prove me wrong, Fox.
Yes, it's not ordered to series yet. It is under development on a what they call a script to series model, which basically means that rather than actually shooting a pilot for it, they open a writer's room, they develop a bunch of scripts. So like the first three episodes, and then map out the first season where it will go. They're then all presented to the network. If the network like all the scripts, they skip over doing a pilot and actually just shoot it. We'll see where it goes. They have the writer's room open now. They're working on it. If they like it, then it will go and get a series pickup. Whether we'll see it over here at all, who knows? Because although it's on Fox, as we said, a lot of the Fox shows are also Disney shows, so we get them on Disney. But a lot of the new stuff like this isn't made by Disney. It's made by Fox themselves, which in the US is a separate company. It's part of the Murdoch Empire. The Fox channel is part of the Murdoch Empire. It's not part of Disney. Although Disney bought all the Fox's stuff, they retained the Fox channel itself and then set up a new production thing or are buying stuff in from other houses rather than getting stuff from Disney. So it's not Disney connected. So we'll see where that goes. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So highlights for next week, we have a show called Fleischman is in Trouble. That's coming to Disney Plus on the 22nd of February. This is adapted from a best-selling novel of the same name. Stars Jesse Emberg, Lizzie Kaplan, Claire Danes and Adam Brody in the lead roles. So that's coming 22nd of February. Outer Banks, as I mentioned earlier, that returns for its third season, which if you've never seen the Outer Banks, I describe it as what if you made Goonies with the cast of a CW show. That's the same. Essentially, the setup for it, it's a fun sort of adventure thing where they're going after pirate gold, and it's three seasons in now, but it's been ordered for a full season. So that's Netflix 23rd of February for Outer Banks season 3. Beyond Paradise, the spin-off to Death in Paradise with Chris Marshall returning to the role of Humphrey Goodman, that is set in the UK and that is coming on to BBC One on the 24th of February. That's Beyond Paradise. Endeavour returns for its 9th and final season on the 26th of February at 8 p.m. So that's the young Inspector Morse returning to screen. Somebody pointed out this, if you were complaining about the fact that ending, apparently there was something in the contract from the guy who created Inspector Morse that nobody but John Thor could ever play the old version of Morse, so it can never be remade. So this young version of Morse had to stop at some point, because if it started to butt into the older version, you couldn't do it because it would have to be a different actor. That's why there's a young version anyway. But 26th of February at 8 p.m. for Endeavour. Unforgotten also returns as well with a brand new sidekick in that, I believe. But that's ITV on the 27th of February, and that's at 9 p.m. And The Diplomat, which is a new drama coming to Alibi. It's a 6-part series set in the British consulate in Barcelona. That's coming on the 28th of February. Looks like it could be quite good, that one, so could be worth check out. But that's called Diplomat. Yes, few things for you on there, I think.
I definitely am so excited about Unforgotten. Quite keen about Beyond Paradise as well. I think they're going to be my two out of those. I'm interested in The Fleischman is in Trouble, that I've seen that, but I'm definitely going to be tuning to Beyond Paradise and Unforgotten. Death in Paradise finishes this Friday coming, and I think it'll be a genuine sort of leap to have Beyond Paradise in there next.
That should be really good. Outer Banks for me out of that list, and I might go and check out The Diplomat as well, because that looks interesting. So if people want to get in touch with you whilst you're not on the podcast, where do they want to find you?
They come over to Twitter and follow me on @GreyTheGeek to see me moaning about life in general.
Yes, so go and find Grey over there. For other people involved in the show, you can find Bex on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. She's streaming every week over there. You can go and check out her schedule on there for the day she's streaming. Lots of fun stuff going on. She's playing lots of video games. She's just chatting with people. There's lots of fun and lots of silliness that goes on that stream. It's well worth going to check out. Matt, you can find over at entertainmenttalk.org for lots more podcasts, including Manchester United. There's Gaming Talk. There is, of course, us doing The Last of Us podcast as well. As I mentioned earlier, you can go and catch us over on entertainmenttalk.org. And Daryl, you can check out at hollywoodnorthnews.net for all those TV series which you love that are shot in Canada. For us, you can go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post, find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/Geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/Geektown, and on Instagram at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.